space invaders, raising faders, create a razor, cut the ice and slip on the surface, frozen colder than the ozone. I'm moving for a sight, turning you over like a doorknob, drip drop, aquamarine style, swivel pop, locking the rhythm, chop shop, watch the bouncing ball, bouncing off walls of the hallways, knock you in the ice, I can win baseball, play all day, all night, all right, we gonna fuck it up just a little bit, fiddle French won't fiddle with it, it's a Saturday, day of Saturday, where my patterns make a man a mess, destiny manifest, but I still feel the cigarettes in my chest, but I'm blessed to have a rest. We could take a trip and just ride, my man. Make some music or just vibe, my man. Kick back and smoke or decide, my man. Be happy with what I'm doing, don't lie, my man. Hey, can I ask you one more question? No. Let me ask you one more question, man. Marinating, I picture this, I pick this up and put it up for examining. Two tacks up to a canopy that catapult my head to leg up. All the worlds I fantasize and make up, analyze and agonize. Forget about if I'm in a rock, no one kind of man lives in a world of his own. I pick this up, I put it up for Gemini. Two tacks up to a canopy that catapult my handling. All the worlds I fantasize and make up and analyze and agonize and forget about if I'm in a rock. Now what kind of man lives in a world of his own?
What if I fell to the deepest sleep? I couldn't awaken, I was living in a dream. Hypnotized state where I couldn't make right from left. In the night it ripped my mind like a rock in a lake, crossing ripples in time when I tossed the rocket shine in the sunlight. One night, living out my whole life. What could this all mean? Collaborating in television and scenes from my everyday life. I fall in a winding spiral upwards. Catch me, calling out your name, talking to ghostly voices, mostly living in shame. Searching memories, looking for enemies, breaking down your frame. Unconscious body, charging the battery. Sleeping, open to whispers through the cracks and passing flames. I can't control it when they speak cause I'm falling. Can't call it when I'm fast asleep.
Once you make your mind up, take some time to bring it back down. Once you make your mind up, take some time to bring it back down.
Shrink wrap my soul under this body, known as a traveler on a circle of a lesson. Put in a direction bound by the warrior on a quest to read the signs to find the sense which he bays in light. Only to the passers on those long gone, without the trouble to spit. Nobody just infinite phantasms of spirit overlapping, looping, connecting, resurrecting, influencing a shape of a triangle till it's fine. Slithering line, accompanied no longer by the mind, just by the atoms scattered in remembrance of a footstep once given to the dirt on a conquest for worth. No more analyzing, antagonizing, agonizing, computerizing, just rest. On a cloud with all the things you learn to love. On a plane once occupied, no one's anyone, everyone's everything. Every ounce of energy, heat in every molecule, separating not possible, no obstacles, pure oracles. Build your horoscope, no more horrible or terrible, just wonderful, bearable pain spun by circulating the breeze in the blink of an eye to make it heaven, just a bunch of light that used to occupy behind the back of the eyes of you and I that live these ground under the skies of green and white, blue, silver and gold. Call it a dream, untouched as a human brought to life. Many discoveries to be made. No beach has been discovered as of today. Hop in the breeze and make believe or make it be. It up to be spiritual traveling. Let a wiser voice push the ink and let it be seen. It's the all-powerful mind that lit it up and said these lines. Crossing loud, crossing wood, crossing land, crossing sea, crossing sky, crossing sky, crossing sky.
Welcome back to Mapping Comics. This is your host, Terrence Moreau, and this week is going to be a bit of a rambly, fumbly-duddy sort of thing, just feeling around in the dark as usual. I suppose technically you could call the subject of this what I was talking about last week, you know, what is comics rant? But in just kind of writing some notes down here, I found it wasn't so much a what is comics rant, but a more of a where is comics at the moment kind of thing. Because in the what is sense, you know, comics are so many things. Comics are everything. You know, words, pictures, infinite variety of combination there, you know. Not all the combinations are viable, you know, not every combination is efficacious or whatever. You know, I heard Matt Seneca talking, like, I don't know, 5-6 episodes ago on the Comic Books Are Burning in Hell podcast about, you know, cartoonists on Tumblr. And, you know, how they, know, cartoonists on Tumblr who draw the same thing over and over again. Stop it. You know, and this idea that, yeah, you know, their combination isn't efficacious. It doesn't, it's not effective to anyone. It doesn't affect anything or you know, evoke emotions or meaning for anyone. And at least if I'm interpreting Matt correctly, I don't know if he was talking about the cartoonist literally drawing the same thing over and over again, or if he meant that, you know, cartoonists who use the same essential recombination patterns over and over again. That, at least that's what I took his meaning to be. I'm sure, yeah, there are plenty of cartoonists who draw the exact same thing over and over again. I mean, that's part of cartooning, sure. But I took it to mean, like, the cartoonists who make, like, the same strip over and over again to a certain degree with, you know, only a limited amount of variation. Like, you know, the same trick, so to speak. You know, it's that, oh God, maybe, again, I may be interpreting lots of things incorrectly here. It's that same thing from Understanding Comics that Scott McCloud talks about, I think, towards the very end, about whether or not your goal as an artist is to push the form and to have your meanings, you know, your content and your form interact in a very specific way where you're pushing the form forward along with, you know, as content, you know, that the pushing of the form is the content. Or if your, you know, your established rule set within the form doesn't vary too much and you're actually, you know, that trick, you know, you're using the same set of tricks, you know, that thing I suppose I call the dominant mode or whatever. Or if, you know, you're communicating through that. You know, you've got some content that is relatively disconnected from your form, you know. And again, I don't know if that's you know, exactly what people want from their comics. You know, it's probably more of the weird experimental art comics folks who want form as content, or to there to be more a more direct interaction there, rather than just, you know, communicating through the established modes of the form. There's a gentleman, John Pound, goes by the name Code Cartooning on Tumblr, who does something really interesting with all this stuff. He's been around a long time, started in underground comics and art comics, has been in the printmaking scene and all of that. But he does what he calls code arting, code art, but he uses PostScript and other programming languages to just generate art in, you know, iconographic recombinations. And that's the interesting thing to me is, you know, that idea of recombination. That idea of, well, John takes, you know, I don't know enough programming theory to know, be able to relate to you guys exactly what he does, but there is, I would argue, I guess, some kind of randomness involved in the recombination of icons and colors and forms with a certain amount of rule set that he puts in there. And then the rest of it just iterates through that rule set. And my understanding of his process is that he'll do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these, you know, semi-random iterations, and then we'll print out a huge print-on-demand book, one copy, you know, one like 400-page or something, huge print-on-demand book of all this random code art. And we'll then flip through it. And the stuff that you see on his Tumblr is the stuff that he's chosen as the most efficacious, the recombinations that have the most meaning, that are the most viable. And in the idea that, you know, this isn't, you know, a neural network, you know, kind of, you know, it's not a human being generating all of the icons, you know. It's a human being filtered through the rule set of PostScript code generation, or of PostScript art generation through code. And that, like I say, that's the interesting thing to me, is where in all of this some genuine meaning can be found, you know, and through all of the weird recombinations that, you know, John Pound must have to sift through to kind of find the diamonds in the rough, you know, find the weird little, like, subspecies in there that he can kind of, you know, grow a little bit. And I don't know if he then takes, like, you know, weird bits of code that have produced interesting imagery and then, see, you know, produce, then goes on to iterate on those pieces of code, like, you know, continues to evolve in a weird way, like, you know, go through the gene structure of that particular picture-making algorithm, that particular piece of image-making PostScript code. I have no idea if that's even a thing. Like I said, I don't know enough programming theory to know if that's even a thing one could do. But that idea of searching through all of these iterations to find resonance, to me, has direct relation to just the experience of Tumblr in general and of, like I say, where comics kind of are now. I tweeted the way that I tend to these days in kind of a vain and self-important way about watching iterations of art on Tumblr and watching, you know, visual recombination patterns and all of this very woolly language bullshit crap. But there is something about, well, there's so many people are doing so much work now. There's so many iterations out there, and you can't possibly consume it all. You know, our world's, you know, too fast. I mean, God, we can't consume all the media, video games, television, you know, movies, et cetera, books, you know, everything, you know, our music, everything. Our world is, you know, so full now. So this idea of, you know, what shows up on Tumblr and, kind of what Matt talked about, you know, the same recombinations that you see over and over again, the same rules that you see over and over again. What appeals to you? What resonates with you? You know, is it the expression of content through a relatively stable form? Is it, you know, the idea of form as all of these things that ultimately are, you know, rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic? That's probably the incorrect metaphor. But it's ultimately a little beside the point, I suppose, because it really just comes down to the work and what, like I say, what resonates with you. So our weird landscape for comics now has, you know, gradiated so much. You know, like I say, what resonates with you? Because there are plenty of people who only read a single, like subspecies of the comics form, you know, who only read, you know, like Tumblr comics, or who only are web comics readers. Or who, you know, there's a whole, you know, subset of folks who only read zines and all that. And of course, there's, you know, the mainstream superhero guys who only really read that stuff. You know, so there's been this massive gradation, and the weird through lines of the comics rule set aren't as I don't think they cross-pollinate as much, you know? I don't think that just because, again, and this is probably, like, you know, really obvious or whatever, but just because you like, you know, manga doesn't mean that you're going to like art comics. Or just because you like, you know, one thing doesn't mean you're necessarily like one thing on the whole other spectrum, you know, the whole other side of what comics are, you know? And to me, that kind of gets back to the very beginning of what the original idea for this particular episode or whatever was, you know, what is comics? You know, it's this weird, comics can be anything, you know, it's not about, you know, style really, you know, it's just about juxtaposition and sequence, and you can sequence any style, you know, you could have, you know, sequential sculpture if you really wanted to, you know, it's been done too, you know, so where the demarcations come in all of this, and if, you know, you're about reading aesthetics, you know, reading images and taking in of style and, or you know, or maybe you're more about, you know, narrative, or maybe you're more about following creators. Maybe, you know, it's some, as with most of us, it's some odd melange of all of those things. You know, it's some odd, it's some odd personal resonant recombination of all of those things. I think for the most part, the people listening to this podcast will have a very broad, set of tastes when it comes to comics. You know, this idea that comics are, you know, the kind of zenith of, you know, static images to a certain degree, that, you know, any style that previously came before it, you know, that was just designed to be single images, whether they're, you know, cubism, expressionism, impressionism, you know, abstract, lithography, all of that stuff, sketching, I don't know why that word was coming to mind there, but all of those things used to be things you'd appreciate on their own, you know. Now we appreciate them as, you know, sequence, as juxtaposition, as, okay, what does this mean in relation to that? And I think, like I say, the the folks listening to this podcast probably have a very wide set of tastes. You know, I'm sure everybody to some degree has some Tumblr comics that they follow, or some web comics that they follow, or a couple of micro publishing subscriptions that they have. You know, and between all of that stuff, and you know, buying the big time graphic novels put out by the big publishers, or you know, by the more medium range publishers, you know, your Fantagraphics and what have yous. Between all of that is like our experience of comics, but that's because we're like, you know, comics wonks or whatever. I don't know. I've you know, deviated completely here, but there is this sense of collective force vectors happening, I suppose, you know, weird accretions of things going on that that allow for these idioms to emerge, and so the market becomes a very odd thing. But in that sense, you know, all of this fractionalization and all of this gradation is exactly what's happening across culture at large. You know, the music, all the other art forms I mentioned earlier, video games are not immune to it, you know, music is not immune to it, you know, television and movies are not immune to it. The whole thing is changing, and most of our, you know, media consumption patterns have altered drastically around the internet and the economy around it as well. So, you know, in the face of all of this, you know, a lot of what I'm attempting here in terms of trying to draw some meaning out of all of this is probably, in its own way, a not very efficacious combination of things, you know. Because in the end, all that it matters is the work. All that matters is, you know, what has meaning for you, you know. This idea of trying to say, oh, what is it? There's so much stuff now, there's so much everything, oh my god, overwhelming, changing everything. I personally don't think I'm skilled enough to be able to draw too much meaning out of that. I'm not educated enough either, but I think I can point to it and say that there is meaning, and that there are some through lines that can be drawn. Exactly what those are, I'm not too certain of, but as always, the self-expression matters. And what resonates with you matters. The trouble, of course, is in attempting all of this self-expression and in attempting to find an audience if you are a self-expressor, or in the exact, you know, opposite sense, you know, if you're acting as a consumer in the moment or whatever, you know, trying to find something that means something to you, whether you get something out of trying to expand what means something to you, if that makes sense. Like I say, this whole endeavor for me, I don't know, I was reading Twitter this morning, and I caught some feelings off of some stuff that Dustin Harbin and Tom Spurgeon were talking about, and I probably shouldn't have. That was probably a mistake on my part. But I couldn't help... Dustin was talking about how most online writing now seems to have devolved into demagoguery, or aspiring demagoguery, and, you know, unquestioning, uncurious big word use, or that may have been what Tom Spurgeon got in there, lots of big word use, which all of which I have been horribly, horribly guilty of, and which is probably why I caught feelings, whether I doubt very much they were talking about me. I seem to be part of this larger trend of doing this. But I don't, on my own personal level, I don't want to be a demagogue. I don't want to be an iconoclast. You know, in doing all this, I'm just trying to understand myself and how I see things, and am trying to see if anyone else sees it that way. You know, I genuinely love to get emails telling me how full of shit I am, and where I'm going wrong, and what I should be, you know, what proper critical texts I should be consuming to understand all this stuff better. You know, what are the efficacious recombination patterns for understanding these things? You know, I'd really love to know. But like I say, I probably shouldn't have caught feelings, and I'm going to try, as this podcast goes forward, to do less of the ridiculous big word demagoguery. And try to be a little more traditional and a little more literary in my examination of texts. And going forward, I don't think I may still do some rambly stuff like this every now and again, just kind of exploring and free associating as best I can. But I'm going to try and focus more. Talk about a single comic and go deep on that sort of thing. Because, like I say, in the end, it's only the work that matters. In the end, it's only the comic that matters. You know, we can try and, you know, assholes like me can try and throw all the big words at it we like and try to, you know, challenge your preconceptions, man, or whatever. But in the end, it's all about appreciating the work. And there will always be more people who just appreciate the work as the work rather than want to appreciate the work as part of a larger critical exercise in categorization and taxonomy or whatever, you know, even if it's mostly bullshit taxonomy. So like I say, I'm going to try and be less self-indulgent about those things. And I'm going to try to go a little deeper as things go on. The what is comics thing, you know, to me, like, and I'm going to hear, I'm going to get right into self-indulgent bullshittery here. Next week, I won't do that, and going forward, I'll try and call it out explicitly as such. But I see the comics market in a very specific way. Like I say, there seems to be a continuum, a very odd continuum of connections here. You know, Tumblr comics, web comics, micro publishing, you know, huge scale graphic novels, all of this stuff. There seems to be, you know, a coherent, like, expansion or something going on, you know, a filling up of niches wherever the medium is able, you know, the thing just transforming wherever it can. I don't know, it's difficult for me because, like, I look at, like, the Tumblr interface of all things, you know what I mean? Like, those whatever it is, 5 or 6 or 7 little graphic icons along the top when you're making your posts. Like, that looks like a comic to me, you know? It's real difficult, probably because I haven't, I don't have much critical training, so a lot of this stuff looks the same to me, but it's real difficult for me not to think of, you know, graphic design as comics, or collage as comics, or, you know, weird unintentional juxtapositions as comics, and in that sense, you know, it doesn't become about, as soon as I have that realization, I realize I don't really want, like I say, I don't want to be a demagogue. I don't want to control the dialogue that surrounds these things. I really don't want, it genuinely is not my goal to change the language or the critical functions here. That I'm just trying to figure out what I think by exploring and you know, kind of having criticism as self-examination in a weird way, you know, criticism as self-dialogue. Or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. I'm probably not even doing what you could probably call, like, the proper criticism in any of this. If anything, it's just artistic examination. I don't know. Like I say, I probably, this whole podcast has probably been colored by catching feelings off of considerably more experienced and better critics, which it was part of, like, this whole endeavor to begin with. Like, I knew from the start that my approach was kind of full of shit, but I wanted to see if there was anything to it, you know, I wanted to see how far I could take it, I still kind of do, I genuinely am not out to control the dialogue, you know, to control the message, to shift it around, I just want to carve out my own little corner and, you know, figure out how I see things. You know, and if anyone else should get something out of that, then great. I'm so glad, you know, because that's like that's all we can ask for again, you know, is that there's some kind of resonance somewhere with somebody. You know, I don't want to take over anything or control anything. I just want to know if anyone feels like I do, you know, which I suppose is the larger point of art more generally, you know. Do you recognize this? Do you feel this? I don't know. I can understand why a lot of folks have rebelled against, you know, Scott McCloud and understanding comics and have just said, well, that's utterly pointless. There's no real value there. And I myself have an odd love-hate relationship with the work, with understanding comics and that whole series, you know, making and revolutionizing or whatever it is. because so much of it really is beside the point. You know, this idea that the Wayward Girls criticism of the thing, which is a brilliant criticism, happens in like six panels or something, that essentially says putting control and categorization of, you know, of a form over the enjoyment of the form, or kind of, well, that's probably an incorrect way of looking at it, but to have control and categorization be this kind of unnecessary force in art, you know, I believe, if I'm remembering, it's been a while since I've read that comic, but I believe that the criticism that Wayward Girls actually uses is that, you know, control and categorization or whatever can be alleviated through just a little bit of, like, getting laid. Like, all that, like, Scott McCloud's little cartoon version of himself needed to do was, like, just, you know, get laid by the Wayward Girls. I'm probably remembering that wrong. But it's the essential idea of control and categorization being this, like, defense mechanism that is absolutely unnecessary in the appreciation of art, which I agree with in theory, and on the emotional level I do. You know, criticism is necessary, of course, but probably not to the extent that we, you know, like to think it is. You know, the idea of control and categorization, and, you know, control of message, and of, you know, control of language and dialogue and all of that, as having more importance than the expression somehow, you know? Obviously, I don't agree with that, because, you know, I think the expression has largely taken hold now. You know, there's the form is so wide that any kind of, like, of the criticism I'm attempting is probably a mistake. You know, there's no market forces in the same way. You know, we don't have, like, an established readership in a lot of senses. You know, the medium had to die so that the market had to die so that the medium could live, which I believe is a paraphrased Anna Senti quote. But, you know, there's no, like, nobody is forced to, you know, forcing, like, Jack Kirby to work in the superhero idiom, because that's where money is being made now. You know, there's no money to be made anywhere. And so the expression has taken hold, and this idea of trying to, you know, formally categorize or formally critique, you know, falls away, because there's no form there to kind of, you know, draw lines through or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that's probably an overly fanciful thing of mine. But the idea that there are no, you know, there are no real market forces anymore, and so self-expression and, you know, that purest thing that I was talking about, you know, last couple of episodes, about just letting it flow out of your hands, letting it be this, you know, this just exercise of your skills, becomes more and more important. And, you know, the larger kind of artistic resonances that has with artists these days, because there is no money to be made in comic books, mostly work in other forms. You know, Michael DeForge is an animator. You know, that's where most of his money is made. And while he's joked in places that, you know, he could, you know, quite easily live off of comics in a, you know, kind of a Spartan sense for a while if he had to. You know, he could probably make a go of it for a little while. But there's no market there even for a genius like him. You know what I mean? So what you get in his comics, because there's no, like, you know, he's not making his living off of that, is just his purest self-expression and what that means, you know. And so obviously kind of where our resonances come in is where we begin to follow these larger folks, you know, our Aiden Coaches, our Blaise Larmies, our, you know, Michael DeForges, all of our, you know, our Young Turks, you know, coming up and doing work. And in this sense, you know, I do genuinely think that criticism is still valid, but I don't know if it's as interesting as just examining, or just as experiencing the work, you know. I don't know, I obviously, like I say, I'm speaking from a position of catching some feelings today, but it's very, very easy to look at the vast rhetorical game playing that I engage in, and that a lot of other folks engage in, as being so very pointless and so very much an an exercise in narcissism over proper examination of the work. And it's probably not as black or white, of course. You know, it's some odd melange of you know, needing validation and trying to see if one's own worldview resonates with anyone else. That's validation, duh. You know, it's an odd combination of things. Of course, you could look at, the need to share work in any way as, artists being sensitive and needing validation, for sure. You know, and this is where, in the dialogue, I'm like, well, everything I've said so far is utterly pointless. I should just go read some comics. Because it's so easy to get lost in the odd, romantic, flowery, language for me. You know, it's very difficult for me to tell when I've said something worth saying. And in that sense, I probably fit directly into whether Dustin Harbin was talking about me, which I doubt very much, or otherwise. I probably fit into that larger mode of just being, like, weirdly demagogic and iconoclastic, for the sake of wanting to attract an audience or something. But I don't... I'm sure there's something to that. I genuinely do think so. But it isn't just about that, you know. I do genuinely want to understand things. And I don't think that I have the deepest understanding. I don't know. Like I say, some weird stuff going on with my own, understandings. This podcast has been really interesting in terms of examining my own habits of consumption in comics. Because I do cast a pretty wide net. But there are, in examining what resonates with me, it's, like I say, I've been like, well, shit, that was kind of beside the point for me to think about. It was so obvious to begin with, I don't know. Next week, I'll have more of a focus to this thing. It won't be, quite so short. I'll talk about a proper comic, and I'll, examine, an artist, and I'll, do some proper criticism, rather than this just kind of, this free-form rambling, So, thanks everyone for, kind of following me along on this, this relatively short episode, and, kind of me exploring my own feelings on all this stuff out loud. Like I say, next week and going forward, I'll try to have more proper criticism and a little more of a traditional take, something a little more focused. I'll either talk about a single creator or a single comic or what have you. I've got a list of some stuff, and you guys have heard some of that last week. I'll talk about Frazier Irving. I'll talk a little bit about Cameron Stewart. I'll talk a little bit about, eventually I'll get around when I can, when I feel that, I have the critical faculties. I'll come around and I'll talk a little bit about, maybe some of Michael DeForge's comics, the amazing genius. Or, Aidan Coach, who, genius in her own way, not in the literary narrative, like, writing sense that DeForge has a pretty good grasp on, but in her own way, the cartoonist as painter, that she is, and that, that Frank Santoro is to a certain degree, but that Aidan seems to, really typify, and I'm sure there are people who come before her, but she's just kind of the brightest star doing that right now, or at least as far as I can, in my field of view, or whatever. So yeah, there will be a whole bunch of things at some point. I'll talk a little bit about Paul Pope's evolution and THB and all of that. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening. Like I say, I genuinely don't think it's a, I don't want to control anything. I just, want to understand myself and how I see things, and if you get something out of that, I love you, genuinely I do, because it's weirdly painful to do this, as odd as that sounds. It's weirdly it's an odd self-examinatory thing, to realize, well, yeah, no, that's what you're doing there, buddy. That's the narcissistic thing you're doing there. But yeah, I'm going to try and drop away out of that. Hopefully no episodes of this will be as self-indulgent going forward, and I'll be able to get some proper focus going. Thank you everyone for putting up with me this week. Maybe I should just decide what I'm going to focus on next week here so that you can have some proper expectations. Well, it'll either be Frazier Irving or THB. Probably Frazier Irving, because I've got that a little more worked out and I can speak to it a little more directly. So yeah, I will see you next week for a discussion of digital tool use, the evolution of an artist from full analog and traditional, you know, brush and ink to digital, and kind of to a certain degree the cartoonist as painter. You know, color use, digital tool use, the fate of the digital artist, all of these things. Next week, Frazier Irving. Thank you all for listening. See you then.
Get creative. Be daring. Take the scenic route. All I need is my heart and soul to live. I see this road before, and I'ma drive it again, survive it again. I said, all I need is my heart and soul to live. I seen this road before, and I'ma drive it again, survive it again.
I'm only human, I gotta make my mistakes in life. That means I'll probably travel similar roads more than twice. Details are tatted on my battered brain. Every time I take a path where my footprints already lay, memory lane taking off my struggles, telling me plain to my face that I've been here before. Open the lane to my future, I'll be mashing the highway. On the way, I'll be taking detours, trying to make it my way. Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every day lurks like time rolls a man in the dark with a cane. Beating you down like a raggedy dog with a mane of pain. Insane thoughts drop like rain on a windshield of your aura, making it hard to breathe, but I believe if I keep marching this path, eventually I'll succeed.
All I need is my heart and soul to live. I've seen this road before, and I'ma drive it again, survive it again. Choose your weapon, back to the basics, activate this autopilot function, junction straight. Let's navigate to a new lunar height. Noon tonight, I'm guided by the tune, Mr. Hype. Mr. Brighton, Dr. Bass, got the concoction, auction to taste off. Lofty costing, heavier hit, ready or not, drop, skip the beaten path, hop towards the hills in the sleeping grass. Peel the cover off, butter soft skin emerge. Where you going's where I've been. But I've never been where you've gone. Our paths will cross soon. Keep on, keep on.
Please, God, tell me how to get from A to B. I keep on doing things that destroy my energy. My energy suffering at the hands of my physical needs. I guess my eyes couldn't see past seeds of material greed. But here and now, I understand that being a man has nothing to do with all you acquire. But wire me a fact that explains in detail why we sell these same waters, daughters, and sons. Dying in the seas for the contempt of life. Hanging in the trees from the past aggression. Laying on the beaches, baking in your mistakes. You put us on the earth to wander and find a niche. Due to that fact alone, I believe that life's a bitch.
History repeats, the story never beats. When you get to where you reach, reach again. Taking what you seek, at your highest point, celebrate and then retreat. I guarantee you, Mr. Mountain shouting, but that ain't weak. Freaking nature, I freak the nature of the beast. The piece or a feature, at least I'm growing. Going in circles like the planet. And if that's good for Mother Earth, goddammit. You see, I landed on the path of the sinning man. And when I finish, I'm going back to the beginning, man. Righteous, not out of sight, this is purely in my blueprints. I'm on this road just cruising. All I need is my heart and soul to live. I seen this road before, and I'ma drive it again, survive it again. I said, all I need is my heart and soul to live. I seen this road before, and I'ma drive it again, survive it again.
Survive.